When the elegance of history meets the onward march of urban progress, the result can be disastrous, but it can also be beautiful. Nihonbashi Bridge in Tokyo, which dates back to the Edo period, was quite literally overshadowed by an expressway in the 1960s. But while plans to reroute the road may allow the bridge to see the sky again, is there a case for this crossroad of old and new actually being the most picturesque option? You're listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle production brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. In this episode, Thomas Pinheiro uncovers the layers of history at Nihonbashi Bridge.
If there's one place where layers of history are exposed, that's at Nihonbashi, a district of Tokyo where the main feature is a bridge of the same name. The stone and steel structure is a national landmark, but since the 60s it has stood under the shadow of an elevated expressway. First built as an arched wooden bridge in 1603, Nihonbashi was kilometer zero, the starting point for Japan's five great highways, as still noted today by a mid-span roadmark. One of these highways was the Nakasendaway, connecting Kyoto, Japan's imperial capital at the time, with Edo, present-day Tokyo, the de facto capital. With people, goods and ideas from across Japan making their way in and out of the city, the bridge became a symbol of Edo prosperity, as did Mugashi, the bustling fish market next to it. A predecessor of the now-famous Tsukiji market, Mugashi was a busy wharf that satisfied the appetite of Edoites. Beyond the market, a thriving commercial district sprawled around Nihonbashi, and one can get a sense of its bustling activity by admiring the 12-meter-long scroll on display at the concourse of Mitsukoshimai Station, a block away from the bridge. It depicts the area 200 years ago, with townspeople, peddlers, geishas and samurais making their way through a road lined with businesses of all sorts, from doll markets and kimono shops to tea houses and soba restaurants, all boasting blue Norin curtains on their facades. Many of these businesses are still active today, with some, like the Mitsukoshi department store, having achieved international success. Later, during the Meiji period, the first national bank and a Tokyo Stock Exchange were established close by, and Western-style office buildings emerged all around to collaborate with these financial institutions. The bridge, which had already been rebuilt several times, followed suit with the Meiji trend of westernization. It gained its current double-arched stone form in 1911, along with the bronze lampposts and Kirin statues that ornate its parapets. When the great Kanto earthquake hit in 1923, the structure came out in one piece. The Mugashi fish market, however, suffered major damage and was transferred to Tsukuji in 1935. The process took 10 years because some vendors simply refused to leave. Wartime brought more devastation to the area. The Nihonbashi Bridge still displays scorch marks today, the result of American air raids. Despite tragedy, it was an infrastructure project in a time of unprecedented prosperity that led the bridge to its demise and caused a shift in the vibrant atmosphere of the area. Just in time for the 1964 Olympics, the Metropolitan Expressway was erected to increase traffic flow and efficiency in the city and to connect the Olympic venues to Haneda Airport. The development was part of one of the greatest urban transformations in history, which molded Tokyo into a concrete megalopolis. To avoid reclaiming land in an increasingly crowded city, one of the sections of the expressway was planned right above the river, crossing over the Nihonbashi Bridge and casting it in everlasting shadow. Today, the kilometer zero mark sits noticeably off-center with the two elevated lanes above. Water traffic in the river has almost ceased, and most pedestrians on the bridge are now rushed office workers, their shoes clacking on the stone pavement. In the 60s, the local population supported the project, deeming it essential to Tokyo's economic growth. However, a growing nostalgia for the spirit of the neighborhood came with the years, mobilizing several renewal initiatives. These include a new dock inaugurated in 2011 to promote river transportation and tours. There are also events and festivals, like the Bridge Wash, when the local community gathers to scrub the bridge in a symbolic gesture using broomsticks and eco-friendly detergents. A mega project is currently underway to restore the original splendor of the scenery by addressing its fundamental problem, the expressway. led by real estate developer Mitsui Fudosan, and at a price tag of several hundred billion yen, the project will bury nearly 2 kilometers of the expressway underground. The goal is to transform the area into a waterfront zone with promenades, restaurants and shops, and office buildings inviting enough for tech companies and startups to move in. Transportation was not an oversight. The plan proposes a handful of new services connecting Nihonbashi to Tokyo's 2 airports, as well as nearby neighborhoods accessible through waterways like Shinagawa, Odaiba, and Asakusa. Work has already begun, and cargo boats with construction materials come and go every day under the double bridge, meandering the concrete pillars of the expressway that drop into the water. Still, the results will take some time to materialize. A conclusion is expected only in 2041. Compared to other infrastructure projects of such monumental dimensions, this one is not stirring much controversy. Artists, in particular, look forward to painting what was once one of the famous views of Edo, just as Hirosugi did, without its modern eyesore. Some, perhaps a little too romantically, nurture hope to catch glimpses of Mount Fuji afar. While the public at large is eager to return the sky to the bridge, there are still those who find joy in driving past the area on the expressway, watching Tokyo's skyline rush by as if in a console racing game. And there might be even one or two people who find a certain charm in the seemingly dystopian scenery of the stacked bridges at Nihonbashi and the layers of history they review.
Tall Stories is a Monocle production from the team behind The Urbanist. This episode was written by Thomas Pinheiro and produced and edited by David Stevens. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive new episodes every week. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.